needs a revival of soul winning, of revival praying, of revival churches, of the power and blessing of God and people being in love with the Lord and on fire for Him. And we have too little of it in our country. We need more of it. Let me say this morning that revival and revival preaching and revival preachers, revival preaching and preachers go together like bacon and eggs. They go together like potatoes and gravy, and they go together like peanut butter and jelly. And what Jesus said, He said, "What God hath joined together, let no man separate." Yet, as we look at this chapter, Ezekiel 33, we see a revival prophet who was preaching from God what the people needed to have revival. But that people were not really benefiting from revival preaching. And if you look at this chapter, chapter 33, verses 30 through 33, you can see that. And I have said this, and Brother Joe I know has said this, if all the people who like the preaching from this pulpit had stayed right here with the preacher and the church and the preacher's preaching, they would greatly benefit from it. But so many are like these people in Ezekiel's day, and so they miss out on revival, they miss out on the power of God, and they miss out on seeing people saved and on fire for the Lord. But that's what we need. And so this morning, for this morning service, I would like to help you benefit from the angel of the church. Revelation 1 says there's one senior pastor who is the angel that is the messenger with the message of God for the entire church. You're here today and gathered together. So I want to help you. And what I want to help you to do is benefit from revival preaching and preachers. And I'd like to read, first of all, verse 30 of chapter 33. You follow. It says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people," this is God talking to Ezekiel, "also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." Now notice, God is talking to the preacher here, and He is saying that, hey, preacher, Ezekiel, they're speaking to each other about you, but they're speaking against you. And God was telling him that. And let me say, one of the ways that you can benefit from revival preaching and preachers is by your not helping blowback. And I'll explain that. What we're seeing here in Ezekiel 33 is what I call blowback. When the word of God is preached, it's like the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing through the man of God, the message of God. And if you have your sails up, you can catch that wind and it will move you forward. But there's always going to be a wind coming the other way. There's always going to be blowback. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord blows, there is always going to be the blowback from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you can help and benefit from revival preaching by not helping blowback. In other words, when you support and uphold the man of God who has the message of God, you're supporting your own life, you're supporting the lives of others that you care for, you're supporting your family, you're supporting the church family. But if you get involved in the blowback, in the nitpicking against the messenger, then to anyone or anyone else, you're going to be involved in weakening the whole body and undermining the blessings that can come to you in the body of Christ. And that's exactly what was happening here. The great men of God and the great people of God work together to not help blowback, but rather to do what is done when people are praying for the revival and for the pulpit to be on fire, that prayer is something that helps that wind to blow, helps that fire to burn, you see. And that's what you need to do. But the devil will try to get you to not do that. And so the angel of the church will always have blowback. Spirit-filled preaching will always have that. But listen, the man of God can feel it when the message is hitting the target. He knows it, and he can see it, but he also knows that just as sure as that was a message from God, and it hit the mark, and it was a good thing to release, you know, just like when a bomb is dropped and the mark is hit, he knows it, but he knows you've got a brace. There's going to be some kind of blowback that is going to happen. And I'm thinking of Dr. Jack Hiles, great man of God, and I'm thinking that the people have grown, and so that some feel, well, I've been growing so much in the church that, and this is, Jack Hiles shared this, he said he would have people, they get under the ministry of the Word of God, and they feel like, I have grown so much in the church, now I've grown past the man of God. So I don't really have to benefit from that Word of God. I've grown past that. I'm bigger than that now. I'm farther than that now. I'm high. But you need to remember, Brother Hiles said, when you're growing, the man of God still is growing. And he's always growing, just like you're growing. And so, you see, God has that for you, and you need to recognize that, and you need to realize that. And some people in the congregation, they like the word preached. They enjoy the word preached. They're benefiting from the preaching of the Word of God. But listen to me, they have friends that don't want it. They have family members that don't want it. They know people that are significant in their life that don't want it, and maybe it's kids or spouses that will not go along with it. And so, beloved, they're not helping with the blowback from that family member. They're not leading that family member. You say, how can I lead them? Just keep on getting the Word of God. Just keep on keeping on. Just keep on receiving what God has, acting on it in your own life, and benefiting from it. And you will shut down the blowback by your example. But many people don't do that. They say, oh, I'm getting this criticism, I'm getting this blowback, and I'm just going to just kind of go along with it and go along with that family member and go out, and they wind up leaving what God would have them, or loosening their commitment. I'm saying, if you want to benefit from revival preaching and preachers, you lead in your family. And you go for it, and go for it. And it says, also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls. Well, if you hear that, you stand up against it, and you stand for God, and you take a strong stand and do what God wants you to. Have some courage. Benefit from revival preaching, in other words, and preachers. And that is the message this morning, at not helping blowback. But number two, benefit from revival preaching and preachers in verse 31 and 32. Look what it says. It says in verse 31, and they come unto thee. God is talking to Ezekiel. He says, and they come unto thee, Ezekiel, as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well, or an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do not do them. You know, you can benefit from revival preaching in your preacher by not helping blowback, by letting the wind keep you going. But number two, by you're not treating good preaching as just entertainment. That is something that people do. They'll hear, oh, I'm going to this conference, I'm going to hear this great preacher. They hear that great preacher, but it doesn't make a difference in their life. They have no intention to do it. That's why the local church is so important. And what you do in the local church with the messages you get are important. And I believe that every church service, the messenger of the man of God has a message that you need for that hour. And he means for you to put it in practice in your life, you see. And it will make a difference in your life, and it will make a difference in the lives of those around you. So don't get involved in people that have the blowback. You just stand up to that. And you say, no, this is what I'm doing. I'm not going to participate in it. If you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. But get the message and go with the message and live the message out. And over time, you'll live down the criticisms. I found it out. I don't try to answer every criticism. If I tried to answer every, it would be terrible. You know, you heard about the guy, he had a horse and he was walking with his kid on the horse, and it was a small horse and he had a small kid. And people in the town said, look at that guy, he's walking, he's an older man, he's walking, the kid's on the horse, and the kid's sitting there relaxing, you know, he should be helping the dad. So the next town they switched it up and the dad got on the horse. And the kid was pulling the horse. And they got there and they said, look at that. That poor little boy, he's pulling that horse. And that dad is sitting on that horse. And he ought to be helping out. And so they're like, oh, mercy. Now we're getting it for that. So the next town, they both got off the horse. And they're just pulling the horse. And they said, that lazy horse. Look at those guys. They're walking, and that horse ought to be carrying those guys. You know, that horse is a lazy horse, and they criticized the horse. So they both got on the horse, and they were trying to ride it through town. They said, look at that. They're both sitting on the horse. They're overworking. He's foaming, and they ought to give that horse a rest. So the next town, they actually picked up the horse. They're carrying the horse. You see my point. You're never going to live down criticism. The critics are always going to be the critics. By the way, you never build a statue to a critic. Right. I went to Italy, Texas with a great Dr. Jack Hiles, and they actually built a statue in Italy, Texas. And I saw it. It had on it about Daniel 12, about they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars. And we read and saw that big statue built to Jack Howell. But Jack Howell's one of the most criticized men I've ever heard in my life. He's still being criticized. Lied about, slandered, everything. I knew him personally. I'm just saying to you, I don't worry about the criticisms. You don't need to either. You need to realize that critics are never going to have a statue built to them. They just tear down. They're not building anything. You need to realize that revival preaching will help you to build something. We've got a church here. We are building something. You say, what are you building? We're building lives on solid foundations. Amen. We're, through the gospel, laying a foundation not only for time but for eternity. It'll determine where people's going to go. That foundation is Jesus Christ, the crucified, buried, risen Savior of the world. And we're leading people to faith in Him. That's the foundation we're building lives on. And we're building lives on the solid foundation of an every word Bible. I was reading in Sunday school. I got a word wrong and it made all the difference. And if you get one word wrong, it messes it all up. We need an every word Bible. And there are Bibles that they're quote unquote good Bible, you know. But they got the thoughts right. They don't have the words right. No, we need an every word Bible. And that doesn't mean everybody preaching from that every word Bible is living it. Amen. But thank God for that. I'm going to take a drink. Wow, is that good. Amen and amen. I don't know what it is, but I'm just loving water all of a sudden. But I'm just saying, benefit from revival preaching and preachers by not helping with the blowback that is going to happen. Wherever the Holy Spirit works, the unholy spirit's going to hit back at it. You think he's not? Don't help in it. You help the spirit-filled preaching by doing it, putting it into practice, living it out in your family, and leading the way, and you'll be blessed, and your family will be blessed. Don't help the blowback, and don't treat good preaching just like entertainment. I remember in our Christian school, thank God for our Christian school. I believe the Christian school is established to help live out the Word of God in young people. Really, that's the thing it does. And the Christian school is so great, you know, and it trains young people in every area of life, physical, spiritual, mental, and so forth and so on. But it's a great opportunity. And I remember a young lady went to our Christian school, and she was here. Let me back up from that. Let me back up from that. I want to get into that right now. Let me back up. It says here in verse 32, "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, and one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well in an instrument, for they hear words, but they do not know them." How many of you have heard beautiful music and you enjoy it? You enjoy music. Yeah, we all do. Amen. And it's such a wonderful thing, and it can be such an entertaining thing and a great thing. And God said to Ezekiel, you know, your preaching is like that. People like to watch you preach. Brother Hiles used to say, people come to his church just to hear him preach, just to watch him, you know, and how he would get into action and all of that, you know. And people do that, and so they get all excited about it. And you know what? I run into people all the time. I ran into somebody this week, and this person, you know, had been to our church, and he saw me, and he said, "Pastor Bloom, so good to see you." And I said, "Good to see you too, man." And he said, I want to come back to your church." He said, "I'm in another church now. I'm in this church," and he's in some parachurch group that has, you know, people talking in tongues and all this other stuff going on. I'm not talking about Brother Andy, but yeah, other stuff going on. You know, people in his group there, like a parachurch. And he said, "Boy, I get all excited about these people and their gifts and this and that." He said, "But I missed something at Scranton Revival." He said, "Boy, I got the foundation there, independent, fundamental Baptist stuff. It was great." He said, "I want to come back. I miss your preaching." And I said, "Well, we'd love to have you come back. Come on back. I'd love to have you stop in and hear my preaching." And that's true. But little does he know, the preaching is what makes the church.
Right.
And the lives of the people. And if you just would get it and not be hopping around out here and then be in some parachurch group that doesn't have any messenger of the church, any angel of the church, and you don't have that, and you don't have the foundations there, and you could see it. And so sometimes people do that, as I said, because maybe a family member couldn't take that. And so instead of leading the way in the family, they're just going along with the breeze. And by the way, can I say something? If you're a man, you need to lead your wife. We're doing a new curriculum in Genesis, and I said to Brother Z here, I said, "You notice that, you know, the lesson, I know it wasn't like that originally, but somehow we lost the lesson. It started with Eve." I said, "It didn't start with Eve, it started with Adam." By the way, if you look at Genesis 5:2, it's Adam, Adam. His last name was Adam, and so was Eve's last name Adam. Did you know that? You want to find out why the woman changes her name to the man's name. In Genesis 5:2, it was Eve Adam. Her name was Eve Adam. God named her Adam, and Adam named her Eve. Her name was Eve Adam, and Adam's name was Adam Adam. And so I'm just saying, when you write something, you ought to say, "Mr. and Mrs. Jose Valley." Oh, you're not married yet, but when you are, I'm going to write Mr. and Mrs. Let's say your wife's name is Lily Val or whatever. I'm not talking about that, but good night. Get myself in trouble. I better watch out here. No, I know why people like to hear me preach. They like to get me in trouble. But let's say Lily's just a popular name. I'm not using you, Lily. You're way underage. But Lily Valley, you know, Jose and Lily Valley. It's not going to be Lily and Jose Valley.
Right.
Jose came first.
Right.
And people get that wrong. Why? Because they're a bunch of women's livers. They're a bunch of liberals. They're a bunch of liberals. And I don't like it.
Amen.
I like the way God wrote it.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach it the way God wrote it. You say you're a stickler. Well, you're a stickler for your stuff. I mess up everything else, but when it's the Word of God, man, I don't mess up. I'm a stickler for that. And I appreciate it when people are sticklers for food and for whatever they're a stickler for. But I'm a stickler for the Word of God, and this is important. And so, so that's what we're talking about here, not just treating preaching as entertainment, but treating it sincerely and seriously. I go in the mall. There's a guy in the mall. I'm sure most of you know him. He's got his hair down to his shoulders. His name is Jason, you know. And he's a buddy of mine. He calls me John the Baptist. Jason calls me John the Baptist, you know. He came to our church one time. And I'm not preaching about him. He probably wouldn't even come here to hear the preaching, you know. He's on another level, Jason is. He thinks he's the only righteous man, he told me once, in northeastern Pennsylvania. And I said, why are you the only righteous man in northeastern Pennsylvania? He said, all the rest of you married your sisters. I said, what are you talking about? He said, how old's your wife? And I said, she's a year older, you know, about my age. And he getting in more trouble this morning. I like this crowd because I can really talk to you. I said, yeah, that's my mom. He said, see, you should be marrying a woman 20, 30 years older, younger than you. Not older, younger. Younger than you. And he's getting so old and he's waiting for some girl. And he said, that's the way it was in the Bible, you know. And I said, what about Adam and Eve? I said, Adam was created with, I said, he married somebody his age. I said, that's the foundation right there, Genesis. Why don't you just go back to Genesis? And he had a little trouble with me doing that, you know. That's one of his foundational doctrines, you know. But anyway, there's a guy in a mall. I'm not thinking about Jason, but Jason's in that mall all the time. How many of you have seen Jason? Anytime you go to Beaumont Mall, Jason thinks, I think he owns the mall. He's there. He sits there at that table every time. Anyway, so he's there. But there's another guy in the mall I see, and he came to church here one time with somebody that was visiting this church. And he came to this church one time, and just about every time I see him, he says, there he is, there he is. I'm like, oh, okay. You really preach good, man. You tell it like it is. I've been around. You really get it, man. I got to come back and hear you preach. That's going to be great, you know. And I'm like, well, yeah, come on out and see us. But meantime, I'm always moving. I don't take much time, you know, because I don't have a lot of time for that. What I have time for is Deacon Steve and Miss Patty and Deacon Bob and Miss Angela and Deacon Jesse and on it goes, you know. I'm talking about people that are going to live out the preaching. Not just treat it as, oh, this is fun, man. This is entertainment. I want to come in and hear a preacher. I've been, well, why do you go to the church you go to then? Why not get here? Why not camp here? Why not build here and not criticize it? And by the way, we can criticize anything, amen? But just shut your mouth on that and encourage it by living it in your life. And we need more of that, and that will be an answer to those that are just treating it as entertainment when you live it out and God benefits your life and God blesses your life. And you know what? Fellowship is not just going out to Dunkin' Donuts. How many of you like Dunkin' Donuts and coffee, especially when it's cold? Now, nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against Dunkin' Donuts and coffee. I mean, believe me, it tastes good. I can get it. But I'm saying that's not fellowship. Right. Well, I'm eating Dunkin' Donuts and drinking coffee with somebody. That's not fellowship. Right. That's just having a good time with somebody. That's not fellowship. Fellowship is what we did Thursday night when it was about 20 below zero and the wind chill factor, you know, and the winds were blowing and all these people come out, and then the ladies tell me, hey, Pastor, I can't drive at night. I got four ladies that can't drive at night, and they're all going out sowing, and they're 80 or above or 70, you know, like, oh, not all of them, but widow ladies, and they're out and they say, Pastor, I want to, you know, and I'm like, oh, Lord, what do I do? By the way, you want to have some fellowship, you just come out, you can have Dunkin' Donuts and hot coffee, and just bring your car on Thursday night. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to get out of the car. Just get your car. When we go out, we meet at 6 o'clock. We go out about 6:15 or so. You just drive some of these ladies for an hour to a couple visits and drop them back off at the church. They can get home. You'll be doing a great fellowship. Because that's what fellowship is. It's participating in the work.
Right.
That's a four-letter word. Work! You know, there used to be a guy at the Dobie Gillis Show, Brother Joe Maynard G. Krebs. And whenever people said work, he would flinch. Like, oh, that's a four-letter word. Don't say work. But that's what it is. It's the work of the gospel. And when you give, you're involved in fellowship. And so that's what these people that just want entertainment and wanted it from Ezekiel, they didn't want to practice what Ezekiel preached, the prophet of God. No, they wanted just the entertainment to hear him. And it was fun to do that. And, you know, in the Bible, in the book of Acts, when the apostle Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, I'll read it to you, verse 41 and verse 42, it says there very clearly what happened when he preached the word of God. Acts 2, 41, 42 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Amen. It's great when we see people get saved, then they get baptized. And then the same day, it says, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They joined the church. Amen. They added unto them means they became members of the church. 3,000 of them. Wow, that's great. And they, now look at verse 42. And they continued in the apostles' what? Doctrine. What's doctrine? Bible preaching. Bible teaching and preaching. Doctrine. They continued. And fellowship. What's fellowship? Participating in the work of the Great Commission. The work of the gospel. And the ministries that come out of that and that surround that. So they participated in fellowship. And then in breaking of bread. That's talking about the Lord's table. Where they would worship the Lord. And the early church actually had a fellowship dinner probably every week. Then they had the Lord's table. And they would do that. And they would worship the Lord together. And they participated in worshiping the Lord. By the way, it's not just enough to be taught the Word of God. We need to see Jesus. Amen? We need to worship the Lord and praise the Lord. And sometimes Baptists are afraid of that. But no, we need to do that. We don't need to be afraid to lift our hands up. Put a Bible in your hand if you want to. And lift up your hand to say, this is my authority. And praise the Lord. And say amen like you're doing. That's fellowship. And worship goes along with that. And so all of that is what this early church had. And that's what Ezekiel's people didn't have. And it says breaking of bread and in prayers. That's praying. Prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. Praying on a Saturday morning. And getting together and praying for the fellowship, for the power of God and for God to work. And that's what God wants. And so, you know, I preached on Wednesday night. It was the first message of the new year. And I preached a message on Matthew 6:33, first things first. And I felt that message hit the target. Boom. And I preached that message, and I preached the main thing is the Great Commission, and the main part of the Great Commission is you need to be given the gospel to people. You need to be ready to do it. You need not to be ashamed of it. You need to be somebody that realizes it's a debt you owe the world. When you go by people, let be that the first thing you think about. And I remember sharing Wednesday night that I guess the previous day, Tuesday, I was walking in Viewmont Mall, and I was going out of Dick's Sporting Goods, and I was coming by AT&T, and I saw a chair there, and an African-American guy, about 6'4", was sitting on that chair, big guy, and I went by him, and he said, "Go Blue," speaking of Michigan, because we'd won the against the Crimson Tide in the semifinals of the national championship football game. And I'd been rooting for Michigan. I had a Michigan jacket on, really looked sharp. And I went by him and I went, "Go Blue," you know, like that. And went by a lady and she goes, "Go Blue." And I went, "Go Blue." And as I'm walking, I said, "Wait a minute, that guy, you need to turn around and talk to him." Now, I wasn't ashamed to say, "Go Blue." But what about talking to him? You know, is he going to think I'm a holier than thou? You know, what's going to... And I said, okay, I'll walk through Penny's, and then if he's still there, I'll turn around and go back and talk to him. And he was gone. He was gone. And I said, I should have pulled the trigger. You know, I bet there are times when you should pull the trigger and you're not doing it. And if it happens to the pastor sometimes, it could happen to you. And so I preached on that on Wednesday night. Folks came forward, and Thursday night we had so many people out to soul winning. Like I said, it was filled in Eric Hall. It was great. And I sent them out into gale force winds, and it was terrible. And I thought, oh God, what have I done? And then I myself forgot my coat. So I'm going on my visits, and I didn't have my coat. And I said, where have I left my coat? I had a big winter coat, and I couldn't figure out where I left it. I left it somewhere, Brother Jose. I used to lose coats all the time. Still doing it. But I couldn't find the coat. And I'm like, where? I'm trying to trace my steps because I got to go out. I'm like, all right, I'll go up to Beaumont Mall, and maybe I left it in the food court because I walk up there. So I went up to Beaumont Mall, and I went to the office, the security office, because the management, they're closed down. So I went to the security, and the security guy let me in. He was a real nice guy. His name was Gene. And he let me in. I said, hey, man, I'm trying to look for my coat, and I'm a pastor. And he's like, oh, okay, pastor. And he set me down in a chair there in the security office, and he's looking through the book. You know, he said, let me look through the book, and it wasn't there. Then he looked at me, and he said, he probably doesn't believe me. He said, pastor, you're welcome to look through the book and check on me. I'm not kidding you. It's not there. And I'm like, no, I didn't need to check on it, but I did. I started looking through the book. No, all this turned in, that turned in. And then I said, can I ask you two spiritual questions, Gene? I asked him the second question. And he says, well, it was basically because I'm a good person. I do good works. And he's Roman Catholic. I said, Gene, no, that's not it. And I went through the gospel with him. And he'd say, yeah, that's right. That's the way salvation is. I really believe you. That's the way baptism is. I really believe you. Oh, that's the Lord's table. It's not transubstantiation. It's just a remembrance, he said. I said, Gene, you're not a Catholic. You're a Baptist. I said, you need to come out to the Baptist church. I gave him, he said, maybe I will. I said, where are you from, Gene? And he was telling me, he said, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, New York. And now I'm out here, and he's telling me, I said, I got a guy from Brooklyn, New York. I said, I'll introduce you. I'll get you out to church, you know. You pray for Gene. But I left there, and I walked out, and I came right by that same AT&T, and a couple guys were playing football, and they were throwing a football to each other. Like, one guy was like, they were right in front of AT&T throwing a football, right. Across where I was walking. One guy was African-American, one guy was a white guy, DJ and James. James was the black guy, DJ's the white guy. And I said, hey, I said, do you guys work at this AT&T here? Now, I'm thinking I'm in the mall. It's warm. I can't find my coat. So I'm going to go soul winning here. I said, I prayed for the rest of the people. I said, oh, God, I sent them out there. They're freezing, but I'm here. I know where I'm going to be. And by the way, in the future, if this happens, I'm going to send you to malls and stuff like that. So I'm in there, and I'm playing, you know, playing with these guys, because I asked them, do they work there? And the one guy, the white guy, goes, that depends. I said, depends. I said, it depends on whether you think I'm mad at something you guys did wrong. And he's like, yeah. I said, well, I am. I'm really mad. You guys messed up. And then I stopped. I said, no, I'm just kidding. I said, I just want to ask you two quick questions. Spiritual questions. So I asked them the two questions, and they were listening, and they both listened. And I came to the end of telling them the gospel, how to be saved. And I said, would you like to pray to receive Christ? And the one guy, the white guy, goes, oh, no, no, I've done that. I don't need that. You know, basically, and he's just trying to get away from it. But the black guy, James, he said, yes. And I said, pray right out loud, right after me, in front of DJ here, in front of everybody coming by. And he prayed right out loud to receive Christ as Savior. And I got his address, and he's right down there where your one of the new bus routes will be. But he has a car, no doubt. But anyway, I did that with James. And you know who James was? The same guy that I walked by. The same guy that I walked by. God gave me another chance, and we got him. And I'm just saying, beloved, I mean, don't treat the preaching as entertainment. You will be tested on the preaching. You'll be tested by being sent out into 24 miles an hour gale winds and 30 below zero weather the next day, you know. And it's not going to feel very good the next day. When you're in preaching inside a warm building, everything feels great. But when you get that test, it's in life he tests you. And that's the way this preaching is. It's life application preaching. That's why these people like it that like entertainment. They just don't like the part about living it. They don't like that part. But don't you be like that. Don't be like these people in Ezekiel's thing. So I'm saying tonight, you can benefit from revival preaching and preachers, number one, by not helping the blowback people. Number two, by your not treating good preaching as mere entertainment. And then lastly, by not learning it the hard way. Look at verse 33. It says, "And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." So what's happening here is Ezekiel is preaching the word of God. And God is saying, you know what? What you're preaching is chastisement and judgment upon the people of God because they didn't listen to your preaching. And so God says, they may just be treating it as entertainment, but it's going to happen to them. And when it happens to them, they're going to remember, hey, didn't Ezekiel tell us this? Didn't Ezekiel show us this? And now we should have listened to him. And he was a prophet, you know. He really was telling us the truth. And God is saying that's what happens in church to preachers. You're preaching the truth. And if you live that truth, the people are going to benefit. But if they don't, they're going to get hit right smack in the face. It's like driving up the 81, and instead of driving on the place where it's plowed, you're driving right on the median. And your car's going... And it's not going to work. And some people do that. And so they realize when that happens, I should have listened to the preacher. You know, there are two kind of people. They're two old people. Here's two old people. And the one old guy, he's got like three teeth knocked out. He's got like big knobs on his head. He's got like all kind of bruising and battering on his body, you know, broken arms and everything he's had in his life. And he says, you know, I got wisdom. Don't do like I did. Do it this way. Don't do what I did. Do it this way. And you know what? He says, I've been to the school of hard knocks. How many have heard somebody say that? Yeah. By the way, I don't want to be at the school of hard knocks. That's not where I want to be. I want to be at the school of learn from the Bible and then live it. I don't want to be at the school of live it and then learn it. And I remember a preacher, a great preacher, who had inherited a great ministry and had every opportunity to learn it and live it. And he even taught this. What I'm saying to you about learn it and live it, he taught this. First time I heard it was from him. And then I remember talking to him about and writing him a letter about the King James Bible. I said, you're going off here in this doctrine. Let me just tell you. He write me back. You're very intelligent. I appreciate your letters. You're a very intelligent man. And this is why I'm doing it. And I'd write back to him. I did that five times with him. And he liked to write me, and I write him back, and we just went back and forth. And then he crashed and burned because he didn't get it, and his life crashed and burned. He wound up in jail, hair grown down like Samson, lifting weights and thinking he's Samson, you know, and hair grown down like that. Lost his wife, his family, his ministry, everything. Brother Bob, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm just saying to you, he's the one that taught me learn and live instead of live and learn. Don't do it that way. Don't learn in the school of hard knocks. I remember a young lady in our Christian school, went to our Christian school, and she was going to leave the school and go to a public school. And she said to me, Pastor, she said, I'm going to a public school, but I just want you to know, I believe your preaching. I believe it's one man for one woman, and I'm not going to hold hands. I'm not going to kiss. I'm not going to do anything till I'm married. I'm going to do it the way you preached it, because I think that's the best way. And I said, well, that's great. I'll pray for you. But I knew in my heart of hearts it won't happen, because you need to be under the preaching, and you need to have the fellowship of people that are doing that. And she got off and messed up. And I would see her from time to time, and she was getting hit with the school of hard knocks. And I could see it, and I prayed for her. Thank God she finally learned it and realized, this is what I want. I'm an independent, fundamental Baptist girl. And she's in an independent, fundamental Baptist church, married to a good man, doing a good work for God. But I'm just simply saying to you, don't learn it the hard way. Amen. Stay with it. Teenagers, stay with it. Don't do like the Amish do. They're raised a certain way. Then they go out and live like the devil for a year or two and then come back if they want to. Now, don't ever live like the devil. Amen. The devil is a wretch.
Yep.
He's a wretch, and he doesn't want anything good for you. So you follow God and love God and fear him and stay with the preaching. Stay with the preacher, and you will lead others to do it. And what a blessing it will be. I thank God for old faithful people that have stayed with it, not just for years, but for decades. And I think of Brother Joe Sobotnick. He is an example of a wise man and an understanding man who listens to the Word of God, lives it out, and when he speaks, he's got something to say. He just had a message in chapel called Sticks and Stones, and it was a blessed message. It hit the need. And he lives it, so he has something to say. And I'll tell you what, Brother Matt right over here, this guy is, he may take time to do stuff. And I know I used to call him God's snail, but I don't call him that anymore. I just call him old faithful now, or young faithful. He's pretty young. And he may take a while before he commits to something, but when he commits to it, he stays with it. You can count on him. I had some problem the other day on his bus route. I worked for him on his bus route, and I had some problem. I said, Matt, I got to go home early. I need to go home. And he's like, that's all right, Pastor, no problem. I'll deal with it. And he took care of it. This guy is a faithful man, and that's what it's all about. Learning and living and getting the blessing of that. Not doing it the hard way. Doing it God's way. You say, well, other people aren't doing that in my family. That doesn't matter. You do it. I know what it's like to have opposition in the home and in the church and in the community. I've lived my whole life like that. But I'm going to keep doing it. In fact, it just, like Donald Trump, it just encourages me all the more when they go against me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And God will bless it. God will bless it. And so you stay with it and don't treat it like just mere entertainment and don't help with the blowback. Don't get involved in any kind of blowback. Even if you find good criticism, you don't need it. Unless you want to share it with the man of God, I'll take it. But don't blab. Don't get into it. The closer you get, the more you're going to have opportunities to do it. Don't do it. You're stupid to do that. Get into it and get blessed by it. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're talking about benefiting from revival preaching and preachers this morning. And perhaps God has spoken to you about something. Maybe it's something you can help somebody else with. Maybe it's something in your own life. Whatever it is, I'd like.